Good evening. It's certainly good for us to be here this evening, and I'm glad to have this opportunity tonight to be able to bring you a report of my trip to Guatemala that I took this past summer in July. I want to first off start by thanking God for giving me this opportunity, for allowing me the opportunity to be able to take such a trip and be able to meet some of the men that we support, and also to be able to preach his gospel out in this area. And I'd also like to personally thank the elders and the church here for giving me the opportunity and for also supporting me financially to be able to take this trip down to Guatemala. So you might ask, where exactly is Guatemala? Guatemala is borders the southern border of Mexico. It is what is it's known as Central America is where it's at. They primarily speak Spanish there. Although a lot of the people who live there still speak their own dialects. They have a lot of Indian tribes, and they still speak and cling to their native dialects. But most of the people there speak Spanish, so. I was able to, you know, communicate very well with the people there. The population there is about 15.5 million, in case you're wondering. And we were mostly on the western side of Guatemala, over in the regions of Quetzaltenango. That's where we stayed for for the trip. So that's kind of where we were at on the map, just to give you a visual there. Initially, I was going to take this trip along with my parents, but then they were not able to make the trip because they, as many of you know, moved to Florida this summer, and they had some commitments to take care of, so they were not able to make the trip, but I wanted to make the trip, and my youngest brother as well, which he's here tonight, Benjamin, he made the trip with me, and we went along, and here's a picture of us arriving in Guatemala. My youngest brother, Benjamin, if you don't know him, he is actually preaching at Iglesia de Cristo, where my dad was once preaching when they were living here in Athens. But now that they've moved off, Benjamin is now preaching at the congregation there. So he was able to make the trip with me and help me out with doing some of the preaching and Bible classes that we took there. So we arrived in Guatemala at a city at 10:20 a.m. Saturday morning. The plan was for us to be picked up at 10:30 and then be ready to preach by 4 p.m. But our luggage was delayed in arriving to the airport. It didn't make it when we did, and therefore we had to wait. And then we actually didn't leave the airport till 2 p.m. So Brother Ruben Colop, and I'll show a picture of him and his family in just a minute. Brother Ruben Colop and his wife and his youngest son picked us up at the airport, and they waited on us patiently there as we waited for our luggage. And then from there, we traveled to Urbina, which is 4 hours away from Guatemala City. So we landed into Guatemala City. They waited for us, picked us up at the airport, and then we had to travel 4 hours away to actually get to where we were going. And here is a picture of Brother Ruben Colop and his family. We stayed at his home the first two nights. And this is a picture of his family in front of their home. On our way to where we were going, the car actually stalled on us three times while we were traveling. He actually had a 98 Jeep, very similar to what I drive. But his vehicle was having trouble. We would go and we would be doing pretty good, and all of a sudden we'd start jerking, and then the car would just cut off. It would just stop in the middle of the road. So he would try to kind of pull over. He would kind of mess with the something down there under the console and try to fix it. And sometimes it would go for a little bit and then it would just stop again. But I think it stalled on us three different times. We had to kind of pull over, and he would say, okay, well, we're just going to sit here and wait. Let it cool off, and then we'll crank it again, and we'll go. So three different times we stalled, but luckily we were okay. We just kind of pulled over, and we eventually made it to where we were going. Benji, he got sick on the road. The roads there are not very good. They were very windy, curvy the whole way there, this 4-hour trip. And so Benji, he got a little bit sick on the way, but nothing too bad, just a little nauseous. So, we took care of him. So right when we got to, Urbina, where we were going, once they found out that our luggage was there late, we were going to be delayed and we weren't going to be able to make it to preach at 4 o'clock. Brother Ruben made a call to tell them that to try to change the services to 6 o'clock because we would make it by then. Well, because we had to stop several times on the road because of the vehicle, because it was stalling, we didn't actually make it to Urbina until 7 o'clock that night. So they went ahead and started without us at 6 o'clock. They had their service. They sang their songs. They, one of the other members preached a sermon that night. And then we got there at 7 o'clock as they were finishing up the first service. I think they were in the middle of one of the songs. We got there. They finished up the hymn that they were singing. Then a man stood up. He introduced me and Benji. And then I got up to preach immediately. And, I was prepared to preach. Brother Polop had told us that one of us would be preaching as soon as we got there. Benjamin wasn't feeling too well, so I decided I would go in and preach that night. So I preached that night, and there's a picture of the church here in Urbina. And this actually isn't where they meet regularly. This is just a building next to Brother Ruben's house that they use there. And that was just the best place to meet that night, so that's where we met. So that's at 7 o'clock there. I preached a lesson on the book of Haggai. And there's a few pictures of the congregation there. Kind of wrapping up day one, after all the services, we met all the brethren and introduced ourselves. We got to know the Christians, and all the brethren there send the greetings to Eastside. That's one of the customs that they have, is to send greetings. And many of them kept asking about our parents the whole trip, the whole time we were there. They were wondering where my parents were at, when they were going to come. And, you know, we had to tell them, well, they didn't actually make the trip, and we told them why. But they were still happy to see us. I had never been to Guatemala before. This was my first time. So we got to know them, personally and talk to them. And, this night, when we got there, there was, members from three different churches there that had come together, for church services. And then that night we met Brother Jeronimo Koch, which him and his family, which Eastside here supports, Brother Jeronimo. And then we stayed at Brother Ruben's house that night and made plans for Sunday. So I'm going to talk about Brother Jeronimo Koch for just a little bit. Like I said, we support him financially here at Eastside. He has 4 children, 2 sons and 2 daughters. He preaches at Urbina Cantel in the area where we're at. There are approximately 45 members there, and he said they had about 3 to 4 visitors that come regularly. He preaches and gives Bible classes on Sunday, Thursday, and Saturday. And his son Henry occasionally preaches at Pachach, which is one of the churches, nearby as well. And him and his family are a very spiritually minded Christian family. I got to spend a lot of time with him, those 2.5 days that we were there, and got to know him, talk to him personally. Him and his family are a very spiritually minded, Christian family. They're very involved in the Lord's work there. And, I think it's a good thing that we here at Eastside are able to support him in that work. Here's a picture of Brother Jeronimo Koch. That's him there, and that's his wife, his daughters there, and then his son Henry. His other son was not able to make it, but that's him and his family there. So day two, Sunday, Benji and I, we split off to different congregations. Benji preached at Urbina Cantel. This is where Brother Koch is actually the regular preacher. There was approximately 50 members that morning there. And then I preached at Zona Ocho, where Brother Ruben, the man that we were staying with, where he preaches at. And there was approximately 25 members there that morning. I preached on salvation and then taught a class on the parables. And one of the things that one of their customs there is when you get there, they give you a whole hour to preach and to give a Bible class. So you have a lot of time to, you know, to preach and to give your Bible class. We would get there and they would tell us, okay, you have from 10 to 12, you know, preach and then give your class. And then, there we also met we saw Brother Victor and his family again. And I'm going to talk about him at the end of the lesson. But Brother Victor, he used to live here in Athens. We were able to meet him and his family there. In fact, two of his nephews are here with us tonight, here in the front, Daniel and Eric. They're his nephews. And I'll talk about him later in the lesson, kind of give a little bit more information about him. So this is Zona 8, where I preach Sunday morning. And that's the inside of the building there. And this is Brother Vito and his family that I talked about that used to live here in Athens, and I'll talk about them more at the end of the lesson. After that, we had a lunch with Brother Gilmar and his family. Their members at Urbina Cantel, where Benjamin preached Sunday morning, they had us over for lunch at 1 o'clock, and we went to their house. We were able to spend some time with them and get to know them. They're a good family as well. They provided us with lunch there. His wife has been having some trouble with, I believe it was her gallbladder. She had been having some kind of stomach issue that had been bothering her. And I'll get into it here. Sunday evening, we went and we worshiped in Pachach from 3 to 5 p.m., I preached, and then Benjamin preached after me. There's about 20 members there. There's no full-time preacher here at Pachach, but Brother Ruben, helps out there. And then Brother Henry Koch, which is Jeronimo's son, he helps out there as well. So Benjamin taught the Bible class, and then I preached a sermon afterwards. During my sermon, Brother Gilmar's wife there, she was standing up, kind of leaned against the wall. She hadn't been feeling too well. And then all of a sudden, she kind of collapsed during my sermon, and she fell to the ground. Her husband tried to catch her and wasn't able to, but she turned out to be okay, but it just kind of frightened everyone there. Distracted me a little bit. I really didn't know what was going on, but then Brother Ruben told me to continue that she had been having some spells where she kind of fainted because of her health issues, but she turned out she was okay. She just had a little bit of a spell during my sermon. A new experience for me there. After that Sunday night that we were at Pachach, we got to greet and meet the members there. There was a smaller congregation of about 20 members there. Afterwards, we went back to Brother Ruben's house. We ate dinner with him and got to spend more time with Brother Jeronimo and his wife as well. Had a good meal with them there and got to spend time, get to know them a little bit more as well. And here is a picture of where we were at Pachach Sunday evening with the church there. And they only meet from 3 to 5. That's the only time they meet on Sunday, so they go 2 hours from 3 to 5 there. All right, so then day 3, Monday, we kind of had a little bit more of a relaxed day. We visited downtown with Brother Ruben and his son. We got to go downtown. He took us just all over downtown. We got to see different museums and just different things there that he wanted to show us. And that was really neat to see. After that, we went back to his house while we were waiting for lunch. And there I helped Brother Ruben create a Facebook event page. They were going to have a series of classes, Bible studies for young people in September. So he wanted me to help him create this Facebook event page. So I helped him do that on the computer there and spread the word. Then we had lunch at Brother Jeronimo Kosh's house. His wife prepared the meal. Me and Benji went over there and ate with them. Got to get to know them some more. And he wanted me to make sure and tell the church here at Eastside how thankful he is for the financial support that we're able to help him with. So he was very appreciative of it and wanted me to make sure to tell y'all. So thank you for that. this young man, his name is Manuel Ventura. I want to talk about him for just a little bit. Manuel Ventura is the son of Ricardo Ventura, which here at Eastside, we support Ricardo Ventura. He was hoping to make it to the services Saturday night when we got there, but Ricardo was not able to make it. But his son came. We saw him Monday. We met him. He's a very good spiritually minded Christian. He's a young man. He's in his mid to late 20s. But he's been recently diagnosed with throat cancer. We were sitting in Brother Ruben's house Monday afternoon, and it was when I was on there trying to make the Facebook page, and Brother Manuel walked in, and I had never met him. We got to meet him. He introduced himself to us, and he started talking to Brother Ruben and started telling him about some of his health issues and that he had just recently been diagnosed with throat cancer. But he was talking about it in a way that you would think he just had the cold or something. He was literally just saying, you know, well, I was diagnosed with throat cancer. I'm going to have to, you know, go get some treatments, have some tests run on me. But he was very good spirited about it. I mean, really, I talked to Benji about it. I thought, you know, someone like that, he was explaining like he had the cold. But nonetheless, he's been diagnosed with throat cancer, and he hopes to get some treatment. He will have to travel to the capital city in Guatemala, which is 4 hours away from there. So he'll have to undergo some costly medical treatments and do some traveling. So Benji and I helped him financially. He's a good young Christian man. And he's one of the Christians that we were able to help out while we were there. So as we continue Monday, Brother Eldad drove from his house, which is 2 hours away. He came to pick us up so he could take us to our next location, which was going to be Catarina. That's where Brother Eldad is from. So he came to pick us up there in Urbina to take us to Catarina, 2 hours away. So we got to meet Brother Eldad briefly. And that's how things work there. You just kind of go, you meet someone for just a little bit, and then the next thing you know, you're driving with them, you know, several hours away. Of course, you know, all the brethren there recommended him to us, and he, as we found out, he was a very good Christian man. So we expressed our gratitude and said our farewells to Brother Ruben and Brother Jeronimo Kosh and their families before we left. So we departed from Catarina at about 4:30 p.m. and then arrived at 7 p.m. to Urbina, or to Catarina, excuse me. We arrived to Catarina. And there was no electricity or power or water in the town due to a strong rainstorm that had come in earlier that day. So the place we were at in Urbina, it was a very cool climate, very comfortable, around the 70s the whole time. Where we were going to Catarina, it's a very warm tropical climate. It was very hot. The night we got there, I think it was like 90 degrees. And there was no power, no electricity. Everything was pitch black. So it was a little bit of a change from where we were at. And this is Brother Eldad and his family. This is where we spent the rest of the trip. Brother Eldad here, his wife, his two daughters, and then his two sons. Wilson is his son. He does some preaching as well. Not where Brother Eldad is at, but at another location. So just a little bit about Brother Eldad. He lives there in Catarina. As I said, it's a tropical, warm climate. He has four children. He is the preacher there at Catarina. He's a very hard worker, and he dedicates his time to preaching the gospel. He's a very hospitable man, a very strong, spiritually minded Christian family. And his daughter, Wendy, this one here, she's been struggling with some health difficulties. She has an undeveloped kidney that has been bothering her. She's had to have several operations. So she's been a little bit sick and struggling with those health issues. But besides that, his family is doing well, and they're a very, very good family, ready to serve God. So we got to spend these next 3 days with him and his family. So day four, this is Tuesday. Finally, the electricity was restored at 10 a.m. That Monday night, the night before, when we got there, like I said, there was no power, no water. It was pretty hot. I mean, they tried to put some fans in our room, but it was pretty hot. The good thing is he lives next to like a river, so the little bit of wind that there was kind of blowing in, and that kind of refreshed us, but it was pretty hard, some difficult situations. But you know, that's just the types of things that you have to put up with. You know, those are the types of sacrifices that you have to make when you go, to places like this, and we were happy to do it. So day four, finally the electricity came back, 10 a.m. Benjamin and I, we preached at the church in Catarina there where Brother Elder, preaches. And we preached from 10 to 12, that morning. After services, we walked back to Brother Elder's house and we had lunch. Several of the women prepared a meal there and everyone was able to be gathered there. We had lunch. We were able to meet a lot of the members there, talk to them, for a few hours. Then we went back to the church. We walked back and we preached once again from 3 to 5 p.m. Benjamin and I split there. He preached and I preached afterwards. There was approximately 40 people present, for both sessions. So we had a good turnout. And this was, they don't regularly meet on Tuesdays. It was just, they made several phone calls to let them know that we were coming. And, so 40 people ended up showing up. So it was a good turnout, Tuesday. This is Brother Elder's house. As you can see, very like, tropical looking there. There's the river that he lives next to. We did get to refresh ourselves in it one day. It was nice. This is the church at Catarina where we were preaching. There's a picture of the people for the services. And there's a picture of Benji preaching. Day five, Wednesday. Wednesday morning, Brother Elder took several of us young people, and he took us for a 4-mile hike. I think it was 2 miles each way. And during that time, we got to see God's beautiful creation and some amazing cascades. There was these like, waterfalls, I guess cascades as they call them, and they were just—it was amazing. I had never seen anything like it. I just really appreciated that we got to see a lot of just nature, and you know, really get to see God's creation. It was pretty amazing, the view that we got to see there. So we enjoyed that. Afterwards, we went back to Brother Elder's house and we had lunch with his family at about 2:30. We got to spend time with them there before we got ready to go preach again. From his house to the church building, walking distance was probably 12 to 15 minutes. I think we walked it every single time. So, we got prepared to go there, and Benjamin and I preached once again from 4 to 6 that evening. There was approximately 60 people present this time, so it was a few more people this time. And they asked us to preach on the work of the church. They knew that there were going to be some members there from an institutional present, from institutional church close by. There were going to be some members from there, so they asked us to specifically preach on these topics. So Benjamin and I, we were prepared already and we did that. While we were preaching, during my entire sermon, it just poured, it rained, and it was very loud. All they had was a tin roof. It was extremely loud. I had to use my cell phone as a light to read the passages during my lesson. And my throat was a little sore after the lesson, but it was definitely worth it. I was literally screaming the whole time I was trying to preach, but it was a good turnout. People were very attentive, and we were very encouraged by it. After I got done preaching, Benjamin stepped up to preach, and then the power was restored, so Benji got to use the light, and we greeted everyone, and we were encouraged by the comments we received from members after the lesson. So it was a good turnout. We got to have several discussions on the side with some people that had come, and it was a very good turnout for us and very encouraging to us and to them as well. So on day six, this was the last day, we expressed our gratitude and gave our farewells to Brother Elder's family. Then we left Catarina that night, really it was Thursday morning at 12:30. Then we arrived at the airport in Guatemala City at 4:45 a.m. Brother Elder, his two sons, Manuel Ventura, and a young man named Gabriel rode with us to the airport. We had breakfast with them inside the airport, and then we once again expressed our gratitude to them for everything they had done for us, for their hospitality. We gave them our farewells, and once again, many of the brethren, they send their greetings to the church here at Eastside. So that's the trip that me and Benjamin took, and the trip that Eastside was able to support me with. So just quickly, Eastside supported me with $600 to make this trip. And I wanted to let y'all know what the money was used on. A portion of the money was used on gas. We aided the Christians that transported us from place to place by filling their tanks. There was a lot of traveling done from them picking us up at the airport and then taking us back and then transporting us from city to city. So we helped them out with that. And then, I also gave money to several Christian individuals where we saw the need that we deemed worthy of receiving financial aid. So that's where we used the money that Eastside supported me with. So once again, I'd like to thank the church here at Eastside, thank the elders personally for the financial aid that they gave me to be able to make this trip. It's something that was so encouraging and uplifting for me as a young person to be able to go meet Christians around the world and also to be able to preach. I think I preached or taught a Bible class seven different times during these 5 days. So thank you for that, and I really do appreciate it. And I hope that y'all have been edified by this. I hope that y'all have been benefited from this and see that it is helpful, the money that y'all are giving to these preachers to be able to preach in other places that are not so easy as here, places where it's more difficult to preach the gospel. So before I finish up, I want to talk about Brother Victor and his family. As I said, Brother Victor, he used to live here in Athens, and I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail, but back in 2009, before I came to Eastside, I was still a member where my dad was preaching on North Jefferson Street. We had a meeting and we came to the conclusion as we studied the scripture that Romans 13, where it talks about submitting to authorities, obeying the law. We talked about how that's necessary for Christians to do. And that's not what was happening where I was attending at that time. And the reason I say that is because many of the Christians, many of the members that were there at that time were illegal immigrants. And we had this meeting after some period of time, and most of the members, actually I think all the members that were illegal there at that time, we studied the scripture, we prayed about it, they said, no, it's not wrong for us to be here. We're you know, God's merciful, God understands the reasons that we come here, and it's okay for us to be here. After that period is when I came to Eastside, is when I left there, I came here. Then after some period of time, me and my dad didn't agree on the subject, but then he came to realize, you know, Romans 13, clearly, that's if you're illegal here, there's no way you can be obeying the law. You're constantly driving without a driver's license. You're constantly working under a name that's not yours. So there's things that you can't repent of if you're going to keep doing. So after that sometime, most of the members that were there decided to leave the church there. They decided to leave and form their congregation elsewhere on the same street, actually. And most of them are family. They're a blood family. Brother Vito and his family were there. And after some period of time, I think, you know, I'm not exactly, I think it was maybe a couple years later, Brother Vito decided that he was going to take his family and move back to Guatemala where they were from. In fact, I believe it's his two oldest daughters were actually born here in the States. And then his two youngest daughters are now, they've been born in Guatemala. So he did have two daughters that were born here in the States. He made the decision that he was going to pick up, that from what he read from scripture about Romans 13, that, you know, he was not going to be able to be saved living here illegally. So he made the decision to pick up and go back to Guatemala. So I was so thankful to see him there Sunday morning when I preached at Zona Ocho. I got to talk to him and his wife, for a good while. And I took them aside and I just told them how thankful I was for their good example. Because like I said, they have a lot of family here and none of them have made the decision to do that. All of them have decided to stay for the time being, but him and his family decided to go back, that they were going to work hard and going to do ultimately what God wanted them to do. So they are actually now living in Guatemala. They're working there and they've got their four children. They're doing good. In fact, he's actually gone to apply for a visa to try to come back here, but legally this time. So the government has told him that if he'll stay in Guatemala for 3 years without coming back, that there's a good chance that they can grant him that visa to come back and be here legally. So that's what him and his family are doing. And it was just such a good example. I told him, you know, how good example he is and influence he can be to the people back here at home who have not made that decision. But him and his family have, and they are doing good there. So once again, thank you so much for the opportunity tonight and for the opportunity to help me in making this trip. If you're here tonight and you haven't submitted to God's will, maybe you've been a Christian and you've stopped doing what you should do as a Christian. Maybe you've fallen away. You've got off the track. Or maybe you're here tonight and you haven't yet named the name of God. You haven't become a Christian. You haven't submitted yourself to His will through baptism. Tonight you have an opportunity to come to God. God awaits you tonight. The church here at Eastside would love to have you to come forward and to name His name and to become a Christian. I want to read Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 28. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you have not yet taken on His yoke, why are you waiting? You have that opportunity tonight. Come while we stand and sing.